1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
It is now time for the Crime Report. Well, sponsored by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS. As always, all calls to be kept anonymous. Also, a monetary reward attached, up to $5,000 for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, also current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, it's called The Criminal Investigative Function. It's a guide for new investigators, third edition. Joseph, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I got to think you are tired. By the way, congratulations to Joe, because he's all over the place regarding the media on this incredible story, of course, with Las Vegas, and rightfully so with his experience and everything else. He's the one who delivers pretty much everywhere the incredible information and knowledge that you possess, sir, and I had to tell you that.
Thank you very much.
So, in essence, lay some of that knowledge on us now. What do we know so far regarding Stephen Craig Paddock?
Well, there's even more scary details that are emerging now. He actually cased a number of locations, including possibly Fenway Park. The FBI is talking to the Boston Police Department. His name was checked into a hotel overlooking the ball field. So that's interesting. He also stalked out the Lollapalooza concert in Chicago, and he also rented a condo over another larger venue that it was having in Las Vegas. Now, that's an interesting aspect of it, because if this guy was such a high roller, he would have been comped in any room in Las Vegas. So he was actually paying out of pocket to rent an Airbnb place, which is just another interesting. So he had really planned out where he was going to do. It was meticulous. They are now confirming that he did leave a note behind. They said the note was numbers on it. It wasn't a manifesto, or it wasn't a a suicide note, which, believe it or not, is actually very rare. I mean, only about 25% of cases where you have a suicide that they leave a note. So when you see a note, you actually are very, cautious of it. So, I mean, it just goes to show you, Jay, I think he had a lot bigger plans going on, especially with the ANFO, the ammonium nitrate, and everything else that he had in that car.
And, you know, it's a good point regarding the room. If you are a high roller anywhere, no matter what is in town, and I believe you had mentioned earlier in the week that there was a gun show happening.
Yes.
So, in essence, you know, room is pretty much at a premium here. And in essence, you roll high, guess what? Somebody will find an accommodation for you at one of the best hotels.
Oh, yes.
As in the case with this 32nd floor suite.
And especially since he's supposed to be like a high roller where then saying now we're talking like upwards of $1 million a year gambling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they would have comped him for sure.
All right, so the enforcement officials, they bring back Mary Lou Danley, his girlfriend, she being in the Philippines. And really, basically, it came out that, what, no knowledge here at all?
Right. And
at least that's
also
what she says.
Yeah, and well, she also lawyered up already, too. So this is, she released a statement through her lawyer. So the chances of further interrogation with her is zero now.
All right, what about the $100,000 wired to the Philippines? For what particular reason? Any knowledge there?
Well, not yet. What happens is that they are following the money. I mean, that's one of the maxims of any investigation, to be able to look where this money comes. See if this ever happened before. The sisters made some interesting comments about, you know, he sent her away and stuff like that. But the one thing that I really key on this, Jay, is the second interview with the brother gave to the media, where he said that it was because of his brother that he was able to retire. And his mother would live a comfortable life, too. So there is a lot of money flowing around this family. And I believe the investigators are on it, the forensic accountants, and even maybe the IRS are going to be looking into this.
No question, because, you know, we heard, obviously, he's a millionaire, had a couple of million, maybe worth $2 million. He would have to think more with all the money that was floating around, Joe.
Well, yeah, that's the key. They want to find out where the money is actually coming from. He owns a number of real estate places, which, you know, it could be totally legitimate, but it just seems to be a lot of cash flowing out of this one location. So, the investigators are on it, but they're going to have to determine, you know, what are the overseas transfers or what have you.
Yeah. And, Joe, the other thing I would think, and, you know, with everything seized from his homes and everything else with computers, you know, I would want to know regarding his text messaging. his emails weeks prior. You know, who was he talking to? There has to be something there of importance. Maybe you know, multiple times an individual was texted. You know, that type of thing. The frequency of those text messages. Something there that can relay something.
Well, certainly. I mean, you have the internet records and the phone records are going to play a key role in this for sure. Any of his searches on the internet, I mean, he put this together so meticulous, it would be impossible not to have had some sort of internet searches going on about how he was planning on doing this. At the very least, research on other cases like Oklahoma City, which used the same type of fertilizer bomb device of the ANFO, the ammonium nitrate, that he had in his trunk of his car in the parking lot. And that's something where it should make law enforcement nervous, because we've seen other instances where there've been a secondary device or booby trap locations after a mass shooting. Was this planned on targeting those law enforcement officers as they prepared to set up to make an assault on the hotel? That's something that has to be considered.
And also being considered and implemented are the snipers now. You know, Yankee Stadium for the wild card game on Tuesday evening. Full of enforcement there. You could see it. You worry about copycats here, Joe.
Well, yes, and I think that's what's keeping a police executives up late at night, especially in New York City. And now that they've just come out that he was in Boston, maybe, you know, scoping out Fenway Park, you have Yankee Stadium. And the problem with places like Yankee Stadium, there are no hotels. It's all residential buildings.
True.
So
yeah.
It makes it even 100 times harder, because there's nobody checking in, coming, going. These people live here, so... the NYPD has his work cut out for him, for sure, but this is like presidential-type security every time you do something. I mean, you can't run that hot that long. I mean, you're gonna burn yourselves out.
Joe, are we pretty sure he acted alone?
No, not yet. They haven't said so. I mean, I think law enforcement is kind of like stumped, like the rest of us, about how one man could fly below the radar this long, accumulate this many weapons, and he was even denied buying tracer rounds at a gun show in Phoenix recently. So they're investigating that aspect now, too. The tracer rounds, if you don't know, you know, helps you see in the dark as you're shooting, which would then make a lot of sense of what he did out in Las Vegas.
Are we going to see new tactics now at hotels as far as check-ins here?
Well, at the very least, I think we should see a collaboration between local law enforcement and these hotels about training, about looking for signs that somebody, I mean, he's gone back and forth three or four times carrying big bags. I mean, that might be one of the things that they're going to look for. It's just, it's nearly impossible, Jay. I think people aren't going to want to be inconvenienced that long by trying to check into a hotel.
And why not? You know, we do it at the airports, and rightfully so. You know, we all take the time to wait online and everything else. Listen, if it's going to save some sort of a situation based on what we have seen here from last Sunday night, it's worth it, Joe. No?
No, I understand that, and I totally agree with that. But you know what? When you have a gun show in town, now what? Everybody's got guns.
Well, that's the thing. And that's that's what we said. Especially if you're going into Las Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world, let's face it, you're being entertained as well as entertainers doing their part. So it's very, very difficult.
Right.
You know, everybody carries in multiple bags with shows and everything else going around there.
Right, and what nobody's really talking about yet, but, you know, there are a lot of other venues in this country that have the same kind of, you know, conference levels as Las Vegas does, like Orlando. You know, there are some big venues out there that you have to be really concerned about, and you would think that they were all talking right now about how to protect, and maybe the FBI needs to help, you know, coordinate this discussion with all these venues all across the country.
You know, I know it kind of sounds and seems easy, but I got to tell you, in this particular case, Sheriff Joe Lombardo has performed quite well on the big stage.
Yes, he has risen to what we refer to as a situational leader, where the situation has defined him as a law enforcement officer. The only blemish that he has right now is that those crime scene photos and videos were leaked from his department. He's admitted that already. There is an internal investigation, and Jay, you never want to see stuff like that coming from your department. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, granted, we might have this case closed already, right? There might just be one perpetrator. But if there wasn't or there's not, these kind of leaks can actually damage your prosecution. So it's very important that law enforcement officers across the country, police chiefs, take a lesson out of this and make sure that those things are under lock and key with strict chain of custody, so that we know exactly, if it does get leaked, where it came from.
Joe, are we finally going to see an abolishment, maybe, or some sort of regulation? I mean, crying out loud, even the NRA president came out. I had to do a double take as far as maybe he bending slightly here regarding these bump stock devices.
Well, I think that the bump stock thing, in my opinion, is going to be the sacrificial lamb in this. I think that the NRA is going to give something up here, some fight up, just to quiet the critics.
They haven't given anything else.
Right.
Have to do something now if you're Wayne LaPierre here.
These kind of things, I mean, for the normal citizen and even myself as a former law enforcement officer, you see these devices, which I never knew existed. I'm not a big gun buff. I'm not a ballistics guy. I really don't know. But you kind of shake your head and say, like, why does something like this even exist? I know they say they was used it for people who have, you know, handicaps to be able to shoot guns and stuff like that. But I think we really need to, re-examine the cause for having something like this.
And one other thing, you know, you talk about the premeditation of all of this. Cameras, even on the carts, room service carts. Mm-hmm. And how many lives did that one security guard actually save in this case, Joe?
Well, yeah, this guy deserves some sort of civilian medal from the president. I mean, if he hasn't thought about it, so, you know, if he's listening, you know, President Trump needs to give this guy one of those freedom medals, whatever it may be. I mean, could you imagine? He got 200 rounds shot at him, they said. He got shot in the legs, and he still started knocking on doors and trying to get people out of those rooms while this was all going on. And, you know, there is talk that he had an escape plan, you know, and that's Lombardo said he had an escape plan. But I'm not so sure about that, Jay, because his door was open during this whole thing. That's what led the security guard to this. And then when he had the cameras, that was the idea, was to know when law enforcement was coming so he can get out. When that security guard came, that was his first clue. He needed to get out, and he didn't do it then. So, it's just a little concerning.
And last thing here, I mean, it is incredible to hear some of these acts of heroism taking place at the time. People who are being hit and slightly wounded and still putting tourniquets on others. I mean, the story after story coming out on some of these individuals, it's incredible.
Well, yes, talk about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. But you know what, Jay, you hit on something there, the tourniquets. This is an opportunity that, you know, all these venues, they have to have all this first aid material at every concert now going forward or every major event, because these things do save lives. And, you know, like we have those AEDs in the malls and stuff like that because they've proven that. Well, I think we need to start focusing on that also.
No doubt about it. By the way, ABC's reporting that this guy might have been seen with some sort of a mystery woman prior to the shooting. You know anything on this?
No, that's, this, just from what the report's saying, that he might have checked in with another woman, which also could be the reason why he's sent his girlfriend away too, right? So there's a lot of other speculation going on about that. There really isn't much to go on just yet, until they find her and scoop her up if they haven't done so already. But you know what? There was another lesson here quickly. I think the media got to the brother, did the interview before the FBI did and the cops did. You know, and that's, you got to get, you know, we know the media has a lot bigger budget and a lot more people, but having your, you know, maybe number one witness, you know, being spoken to in the media and not by the police, I think could be damaging to your case too.
No question. Talking with Joe Jacklow on the Crime Report. A couple of minutes left. Joe, I want to hit you with a couple other things. Big arrests, 17 in all regarding Nassau County. Once again, kind of a little bit of a Mexican cartel here rounded up. Cocaine, heroin, the works, watches, Porsches, Mercedes. You know, it goes on and on and on here. But very big situation happening early in the week.
Yes, I mean, talk about the hits keep on coming. Jay, we've talked about this a dozen times. These huge, you know, busts in Nassau and Suffolk, and it seems as if there are plenty of people to take their spots within the matter of minutes. It just seems to be no stop and supply of these drugs and or drug dealers. So, I mean, listen, we need to, there's a big election coming up. We need to talk to our people who are running and start, going down the road where we need to start hitting these guys who engage in this type of activity with huge penalties to try to make some sort of deterrence, because apparently whatever we have on the table now isn't deterring people. The money is just too great for them.
It really is. Joe, what could be the impetus here as far as the jury in the Chris Campbell case? This was the hit-and-run driver. Remember, he left Napper Tandy's. Tracy Mangino, the 40-year-old, killed by him. What could the jury be wondering about here before rendering some sort of verdict?
I don't know. I mean, especially in light of his girlfriend testifying against him.
And there are other witnesses as well, including a cop.
Yes, so it's quite disturbing that they can't, you know, come up with a decision here this quickly. I thought it was going to be one of those, you know, you leave and you come back within 30 minutes.
I thought it's a slam dunk. Hopefully, maybe today. I'm thinking today it's got to be something today rather than the weekend to go past the weekend here.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, when it goes this long, you always think that it's ending up in a hung jury.
Exactly. No question about it. And I got to tell you something. This Nassau jail situation is an absolute disgrace. You know, I've spoken about this before. Armor Correctional not doing the right thing with some of these inmates. Seven of them died. And then the latest situation of this Eric Slutsky being pummeled, broken jaw, broken nose. What's going on at the jail with some of these officers and the healthcare provider? I mean, it goes on and on and on here. The outrageous contract given to Armor Correctional. Joe, it never ends here.
No, and you know what? I mean, I know Edmund Gano addressed that, the Armor situation with the health care or whatever, but there's so many things happening out of the Nassau jail. I mean, it's time for that they appoint an independent investigation about what's going on in there, because it is, I mean, like you said, seven people have died now. Because, I mean, it's... Something's going on there, right? We don't know for sure. We'll never know because it's inside of a prison.
I mean, you got to ask yourself, who's running the county? What's that Mangano doing these days?
Well, I guess trying to keep himself out of prison.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, I don't know why nobody called for his, well, they did call for his resignation, but apparently they can't force him to. I mean, and this is what now, it's really leaving this mess into the next person's hands. But you know what, from what I've been reading about from the candidates, I haven't heard this topic come up.
It's a big, I tell you, we had Jack Martins on the other day. We brought it up. Laura Curran's coming in next week. That's going to be front and center as well. You know, this is a big-time issue here on this latest.
Well, and maybe you can even reach out to the district attorney, Madeline Singleton, and ask her if she has some plans for an independent investigation about what's going on.
It has to be something. And finally, I'll hit you with the red light cameras. Now the county of Suffolk wants to put out $250,000 to do a study. Joe, rear-end collisions are up 30% here. Why not wipe out the program altogether and figure out how you can get it right rather than keep it alive in some sort of way here?
Do you want me to tell you the truth, or do you want me to lie to you?
I want the truth. Obviously, they're making money, $32 million bucks. That's the reason.
Right. It's a revenue generator. It's another tax that we impose on Long Islanders. I mean, this is, hey, listen, and if anybody has been noticing, oh, you know, 20 minutes to the Cross Island Parkway, if they don't know that they're reading your Easy Pass, they're doing rate times time equals distance, if you don't think there's a speeding ticket coming in the mail eventually, I think you're mistaken.
Joe, fees on top of fees on top of fees. It's a tax, another tax, and this is why you see people exiting Long Island, because it does not get any better. These guys don't know how to fix the problem. When there's deficits, when there's holes and everything else, they don't know how to plug them. They'll do it the easy way, and the easy way is you and I to make payment on a bill.
Right, and then hit you with a double fee. Just for the processing fee, right? The summons is $50, but the processing fee is $80. So, I mean, it's really outrageous. I mean, and you know what, though, Jay? Like we'll say, nobody goes out and votes. We'll see what the turnout is for this vote coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens.
And listen, the primary was disgraceful, what, 7% or so? If people don't do their due diligence here and really delve into what individual has not gotten it done, and what individual could finally get it done? Well, shame on them. They have nothing to complain about. No one does. If you don't vote, you have nothing to complain about.
Right, exactly, and that's been my mantra all along. I mean, and you know what? They need to educate themselves about the issues, exactly. I mean, what affects them? Unfortunately, I found that Long Islanders are just interested in their own little, you know, 80 by 100 plot. You know, that's it. Beyond that, they're not interested.
Exactly. So it looks like just a disgruntled employer in the city yesterday, the Plainview guy, right?
He
was fatally shot, Chris Sayers, but the suspect also self-inflicted. So a tough story coming out of the city yesterday. It happened early, too.
Yeah, and I was at school already because I had just left CNN, so I was actually there at the crime scene. You know, it came out pretty quickly that this was a workplace violence incident.
There you go. Now, Joe might be in-house Monday. We'll look forward to that.
Yes.
As any big-time information, if we had to look for one piece of information, Joe, before we let you go, one piece of information coming out of Vegas in the next couple of days, what do you think it could be?
I think his internet records are going to be discussed very shortly. I think all his
manifestos and everything else, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. Thanks again. Appreciate it.